Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. Welcome to it. Another edition of this fun little conversation we have every once in a while, especially during the summers once in a while, about our favorite little football team, favorite little basketball team. With me, as usual, Mr. Aldo Avina. How are you doing this fine evening, sir?
I'm not sick, so that's a good thing, right? So, yeah, just gearing it up for the summer. Kids are about to be out, and I'm going to have stuff for them to do. And I don't know what that is yet.
Such a dad. So, like, 2 days a year that you're not sick, right? And this is one of them. That's pretty incredible. Well, let's begin. There's not much going on right now, so we're going to talk about grass, or specifically field turf, fake grass.
Fake grass.
Yeah. Not only is this like such a dad topic, you know, like, well, you know, you got that lawn growing. But I mean, it's a very dad-ish kind of wonky football fan thing. You might have got the email. You might have saw it posted on meangreensports.com and then picked up by the Denton Record Chronicle and retweeted and posted on the message boards, right? Because there's really nothing else going on. Apogee's getting new field turf. And you were reading about it or something? Is it cool?
Yeah, there's not a lot of info out there, but I mean, apparently they use some kind of technology that involves cork and sand and rubber, and it makes it 35 degrees cooler, which is nice. Yeah. I mean, I will say that I wonder if that kind of takes away some home field advantage. You know, if Ball State had a field that was 35 degrees cooler, could we have beat them?
Yeah, I got you. I think, I don't know. I think on the one hand, it feels like you're getting away from the origins of the game, right? The origins, like, let's find a field out there. It's probably like a polo field, right? And like, let's play this crazy game where it's about toughness and, you know, manliness. It's a manly sport. And then we're like, well, we got this scientifically engineered carpet that is cooler and you can put it outdoors. It's outdoor carpet is what it is.
In my day, we played in crushed granite. We liked it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what happened. I think they kind of touched on it in like the press release. And I agree with this, is that if you want to claim to be one of the better programs in the world, in the nation, I guess it's the world too, right? Then you need to have facilities that represent that, right? And that means the field that you play on. Everybody feels good. I remember, you know, another high school. I swear this podcast is becoming back in my day. But like, you know, I think our high school had just gotten a new gym, right? And it was cool. It was fun to play. It was fun to be in the basketball program because we got new facilities there, and everybody feels that way when they, you know, whenever their high school updates their gym and they got new weight rooms, you're like, sweet, this is fun, I got the new stuff and not the old stuff that my grandpa used, you know what I mean? A weight with that nobody knows the weight of, it's like it's been worn off, you know, I think that's 35 pounds, I'm not sure, you know. Yeah, so like, this is an extension of that. You wanna replace it. Apparently, they have like an 8-year lifespan, and we're replacing it right about year 7. So it's about right. You know what I mean? It's like a mattress, I guess.
Which is nice, yeah. I mean, it's nice that we are able to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that unless you're like on the field for, you know, one of those pregame things, or you know, you get honored for something, you're not really gonna, you can't tell, you know, you're not gonna really remember it. I mean, I walked on the Cowboys field, right, at AT&T Stadium, and I don't really remember what the field felt like right now, you know what I mean? So it doesn't matter to the average fan. We don't really care. It matters to the players, and that's good. And it's better, that's good. It's not as hot, that's good. So whatever. Does it bring in more recruits? No, but it might make them feel a little bit better about their decision. You know what I mean? It's the accumulation of all these things. Yeah, it's all the little things put together. It's not just the turf. It's the turf plus a nice locker room plus this plus that plus the other. They're like, no, Texas is a good spot. I want to play here.
In high school, I ran track in high school, and we would go to different, you know, high schools, or if they had like a collective track. Mm-hmm. And some were grass, some were turf. And back, you know, in the early 2000s, man, those turfs back then, the AstroTurf, if it rained like the day before, it was muggy. You couldn't breathe on it. It was miserable. So, you know, walking on the turf at Apogee back in like 2011, and sometimes they do like preseason events on the turf. It feels really nice. It was a really soft turf. But again, like you said, you know, we don't have any experience playing on that turf, so we don't know as well as the players do how nice or how rough that is. I know Fouts wasn't that nice of a turf to play on. But yeah, it's good appreciation of the players saying, hey, we know that the technology's there, so here's this new technology. Play safer. We don't want you to, you know, bust your knees up or hurt yourselves. We don't want you to, you know, get heat stroke while you're playing for us out there. So it's nice.
And I guess on top of all that, you probably have the ability to recruit a decent program, right? I mean, like, you know, you just mentioned that the Fouts field wasn't that nice, and it seems like the only team that we can get in here was Kansas State. And, you know, they have an old school coach who might have played on those early polo fields back in the day, right? So yeah, that not to say that was a factor preventing from, you know, like a Big 12 team from coming down to Denton, but it helps if you're like, hey, we have a field comparable to what you're using right here, guys. It's not a you know, green carpet from IKEA. And
yeah, you get taken seriously.
Yeah. So there's that. I think what matters to us a little bit, maybe too much to some, is the new field design. That's one thing we'll all experience. I think that the end zones are going to be green, right? Kelly green. The grass is already green. The end zones are going to be greener, like a brighter green. The word mark in the end zone is going to be white. There's the same diving eagle, but there's going to be a Texas logo behind it, like a dark green Texas outline behind the diving logo. All right, now, all that sounds great, except the Texas thing. I've said this before. I'm not the biggest fan of doing that, only because it's such a thing for high schools to do, right? Like, every high school has the Texas outline on it. And on top of that, UTSA they frequently use the UTSA logo above a Texas outline. So I just feel like it's been done and we know where we are, right? I mean, I don't really get it. It's like getting a tattoo of your own name. Why?
I guess they're trying to build a brand, reminding everybody, or I don't know, association game. The next time they see a Texas symbol somewhere, and they think, "Oh, North Texas, I went there."
That's such a stretch to me. I mean,
it is. I'm not gonna. I don't feel one way or the other. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but at the same time, I'm not excited about it. It's a whatever. I agree with you. It's kind of high schoolish, but. You know,
look, as long as they don't put it on the helmets, then I'm fine. I mean,
yeah,
whatever. We're Texas. We're going to put Texas in. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to be up in arms about it. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to burn my season tickets or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just going to roll my eyes every time I see it. I'm like, oh, my God.
If this shows up on a helmet, then I'm going to go, you know.
Then I will.
Do a sit-in.
Yeah. I was like, get out of here with that. So that's the latest and greatest design stuff, things you can see next season. And the other thing is that people have been – that's happening right now is the coaching caravan, right? They packed all the coaches and don't let them take a summer break. And they say, all right, we're going to take you around the state, and you're going to meet up with some randoms, and you're going to pretend to like them. Now, everybody, get in the car. Let's go. This whole thing is one of the things that suck, I imagine, if you're a coach. You know what I mean? Like if you're a line employee, you don't really like schmoozing with the hard helmet heads that come through. And that's a fun term that I came up with way back when we were, you know, like we're working in the warehouse. And then the helmet heads come in, right? They have the hard hat on, and they're wearing a suit and loafers, and they're pointing out stuff like, wow, this is really productive. And they continue on, right? And your manager's like, oh, and look, we have these people working really hard, and those people working really hard, and they continue on, right? That is not super fun, right? They look at you, and they pretend to love you. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm working so hard for this company, just bringing value, delivering value every day. Look at me. I can't imagine being run out in front of randoms and trying to be personable while they're trying to sound like they know half as much as I know as a coach. Could you imagine what a beating this is? That's all I could think about the whole time. We went to the one last year, and I'm like, it was awkward because like the San Antonio one that I went to was sparsely populated. So they all had like a look of disappointment. I think they all had drove down that day. It was kind of a rough, and they were just like, this is not even worth it. And then they just see like 5 to 10 people in there, and they're like, oh my God, we have to hang around for these 5 to 10 people. You can see them forcing the smiles, and they all did a great job. They're all nice and whatever. But I was just like, wow, this is such a beating for them. And I'm partly the cause of it, you know?
Yeah. I remember I've gone to several coaches' caravans in the past, and there's always specific type of people that, mm-hmm. you know, the one type of person is a guy who pretends like they go fishing every weekend, and they're like buddy buddies with them from start to finish. You got the older guy who's, you know, giving the coach advice. They're probably the same age, but he's giving him advice on how to play calling and this and that, the state of the game nowadays. And then you got the starstruck people. That was probably me, the starstruck. Hey, can I take a picture? Oh, that national championship ring is so big. They run the gamut.
I don't know. The last time I went, I was just as beat down. I was like, I don't know if I want to make it out, but I felt like obligated. I was like, hey, we got to go support them. They come through San Antonio. I know, you know, it's coming through here. You know, we got to do it. Wife was like, I don't know any of these coaches. Like, what are we going to talk about? Are they going to quiz me or something? I was like, you don't have to know them. It's a chance for you to meet them. And, I mean, it turned out great, you know, it was for us, right? It was fine. I think Gina said, you know, like, now that I met a couple of them, I'm going to be rooting for them a little bit more and follow them a little closer. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly the point of it all, right? Hey, come out, meet them, get to know them. You'll want to support them a little bit more. And it's a chance for them to connect and maybe get in your pockets a little bit, right? Like, hey, look at this new facility. You should donate, right? It's like the whole thing. It was good times, again, for us. But they're troopers, all of them. And I guess, I don't know, they're relatively well paid as part of the gig, right? They know when they're signing up. This is part of the job. So they're like, okay, I just got to give themselves a pep talk in the car. Like, okay, be nice. Remember what your wife said. Smile. Laugh at their terrible jokes. Okay, let's do this.
Don't hit anybody. Yeah, I think this year they've spread it out a little bit more mm-hmm. than they have in the past. That, you know, before, I think they were like once a week or a couple times a week. The one you were talking about, you said they went from Houston to San Antonio that same day?
Well, it was like, I think it was the next day or something. It was something kind of ridiculous, pretty close. And so I think they were kind of at the end of the rope there. They were just like, it was like the last stop, and nobody was really there, and they were already tired, and like, they would have said, F this, if they could have, you know, but people were there. I think this time they're skipping San Antonio. Yeah, I totally understand that. They're going to do it in Austin. I wonder what that turnout's going to be. I'll say this. Look, nobody from Austin made it down to San Antonio one, you know? But I know some San Antonians are going to go up to Austin. Austin is lame. There, I said it. I think Houston is the next best place to go. They always get a nice turnout over there. So we'll see. We'll see what's up. It should be fun. I think everybody's reported back. Good times, and their little stories, like, well, you know, I was talking to Seth, and Seth told me that, well, that's everybody feels a little bit special, and that's the great part about this, right? I'm sure those are the part of their marching orders. I'd love to see that little printout they gave them, like, hey, here, remember these things. Mm-hmm. Bring it around back. Here are your talking points. Bring it around back to donating and thanks for your support and all these things. That's more fascinating to me than them actually saying the things they're saying, you know?
Yeah, and it's a better interaction than all the interactions I've had with the coach. I don't know, put on the Slack. So in 2015, so McCartney's last year, they were doing this campaign of bring you and then 15 of your friends.
15 your friends. Jeez. Yeah. That's real hard to do anyway, like bringing 15 your friends. Anyway, like as you get older, you lose. Yeah. I think the last time I could confidently say I had 15 good friends was like elementary school. It was just like my class. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like my third birthday party, 15 friends. You know, as you go down, like, nah, man, I don't like John anymore.
I don't even have enough friends to make a Fortnite group.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, I went by myself because my wife, she's pregnant. She was maybe like 7 months pregnant, so she was far along. She didn't feel like doing it. She was tired, and she had the our little one at the time. She was three, maybe.
Yeah.
And so he looked. McCartney looked at me. We were just talking, like, oh, how's it going? Just the pleasantries. And so, did you bring anyone?
Hey, he put you on the spot.
Yeah, I was like, no. I mean, it's really hard to get people to come. And
dang. Just,
that flat smile of, oh, you son of a.
And, I mean,
that was that.
Facts are facts, man. It's like, you should, dude, you see in the stands, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What am I, the outreach team here? I'm not getting paid for this. I brought myself. You should be happy, buddy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's. They kind of do that when they swing through. I think when, you know, because you live in the Dallas area and it's a little easier. They don't really put any pressure on you. I don't know what it's like in Houston, but I've kind of seen the conversations. As it gets out there, they're like, yeah, we're trying to make inroads, bring friends, start up something. They kind of put pressure on you and they put the strong hand on your shoulder, right? And they're like, so are you building, you know, the brand out here? You're like, God, I mean, I don't work for you guys, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool. Yeah. I do my part, but I mean, you know? Like, I don't have an email list.
There's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
Or Texas, whatever.
Like, dude, like, it's hard to get anybody to do anything. Like, at work, it's hard to get in. Like, I was part of, like, a, you know, team building, whatever, like, committee, right? You know, they kind of volunteer people to do stuff. So it's like, cool, well, you guys want to do, like, get together, happy hour, whatever, like, so the company's buying? I was like, actually, no. They said, we're not sponsoring any alcohol. They're like, well, then I'm not coming. I was like, well, don't you want to, like, build? And they're like, no, I don't. And I was like, so it's very similar. I've heard similar things from our distinguished alumni. You know, I'm like, hey, well, you guys want to maybe meet up monthly? They're like, well, is the Alumni Association going to sponsor it? I'm like, no. Like, no, then I don't want to go. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I can't make them go. I can't. There's only so many times I can show up and meet one other person, you know? Yeah. So I get it. I get why they're telling me, putting a strong hand. And I get why they're abandoning us and seeing what Austin has for them. That's fine, man. So I'm going to try to make it up there. And hopefully there will be enough people where I don't feel obligated to talk to anybody, you know? Because I think that last time I was like, I'm just going to go in there and just kind of chill. Maybe drink some drinks and just kind of scope it out and be a fly on the wall. But then when I was like one of 10, maybe, the coach is like, it was like two coaches coming up to me. They're like, so? I was like, damn.
I saw him first. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if they were looking at Ren like, this is my three interactions, you know? You said three interactions per hour. This is me right here. This is one.
Counting it.
Yeah. That's funny. So we'll see. Should be interesting at least. Everybody's had a good time at these things, and then the coaches get their little tidbit, like, we may be recruiting a guy and he should be pretty good. And they're like, oh my God. And then they go push that in the message board.
Twitter, tap, 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 tap.
Yeah. I heard Dale Sethlin Trolls recruiting really hard this time, and we're going to get some really good players. Oh, my gosh. So I'm like, all right, cool. It's good. Good stuff, guys. I'm looking forward to enjoying this one. It's like on a Tuesday, though. That's going to be tough for me. Mm-hmm. I got to drive to Austin on a Tuesday, you know? I might see if I can take the day off, go spend a day in Austin, right? Figure out
because it's
why.
An hour and a half.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, it's expensive. It really is awful here in Austin. And then go to the thing and then get out of there. Okay. What I really want to talk about, that was like 20 minutes of killing. We have to give the people what they want. Not much has happened. So we're going to look forward. Is that okay with you, Aldo? You okay with looking forward?
Yep.
So I was kind of outlining the season preview, right? You know, I talked about this before. Writing the ebook this time. I'm going to sell it for $10. So get your wallet ready. Get your budget ready, guys. If you already subscribed to the site, then, you know, you don't have to pay the $10. But if you do not, you're going to have to pay for it. So I'm like writing it out, and I'm like looking at the competitive landscape, and I was kind of thinking, I ended up writing 1,200 words on this thing, and I'm not even done with it. But I was like, all right, well, who do we compete with, right? Like, who's in our, like, we, Seth Luttrell doesn't compete directly with Nick Saban, even though they're in the same, you know, football division. He's not competing with Jim Harbaugh for recruits, for national attention, for lots of things. I mean, you could even say that they're not really in the same league, right? But in a way, we kind of compete with like TCU and SMU for attention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area market. And, you know, yes, with all the other Big 12 schools like Texas Tech, this, that, and the other. Just without any notes, because I didn't really prep you for that part. What do you think? Like, who do you think of as our competition that is not necessarily in our league?
For, like, recruits or attention and things like that?
Yeah, like, I mean, whatever criteria, whatever filter you want to put on it. Like, what is the team? Who are the teams that you think, hey, maybe we can get a leg up on them? Because, I mean,
It's got to start with SMU, right?
Yeah, I think it does. That's the closest on the ladder.
Not only closest, you know, geographically, but closest in terms of competitiveness.
Yeah.
We should be on par with SMU talent-wise year in and year out. I mean, they haven't done anything of relevance since the death penalty, right?
Yeah, I wrote a blog post about this a couple years ago, and I kind of updated every once in a while by tweeting, like, in addition to it. But since 1996, right, SMU is 96-167. That's 96 wins, 167 losses, 5 bowl appearances. They're 3-2 in those appearances. North Texas, in that same time span. Like, I picked 96 because that's when we jumped back into the big time, you know. Since that time, that same span of time, 96-168. 96 wins, 168 losses. So we're just one loss worse than SMU in that time span.
Gasp.
And we've had 7 bowl appearances to their 5. Now, we're only 2-5 in that, but hey, we went to 7 bowl games. And I didn't even count, like, conference championships because we have a couple there, you know, and I don't think they do.
Yeah, and even after all that, they get better attention, more respect. It's like, it's SMU instead of saying they sucked all this time. Let's see what kind of players they can get this time.
And, like, so what is the time period on that, right? Because, like, I think people give, like, Notre Dame that same attention. Right, and that same love. And, yeah, Notre Dame went to the national title game recently, but they haven't been really relevant since, what, the 1993? Like, early 90s? Really? Like, really seriously?
They've been relevant.
They have a great TV deal. They're on TV all the damn time, but, I mean, it's mostly history. And, like I'm saying, like, you build up a lot of goodwill, and then, you know, you start chipping away at it, right? I mean, you could even say the Cowboys kind of are like this too, right? We Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl 20 years ago, 22 years ago, right? 96. And they haven't won since, and yet still everybody pays attention to them. If the Cowboys don't win another Super Bowl in another 20 years, then we're going to eat up all that goodwill there, right? I mean, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's good branding and it's regional attention. I mean, there was no one else around for the longest time until TCU.
Yeah.
Was able to take that mantle up. And TCU's run with it. I mean, they've been up and down, but they've been that Cinderella story of being able to build a successful G5 program, a group of five program, and push it into the P5.
Yeah.
And they did it before SMU did, so good on them.
Yeah, I think when the people that remember watching, you know, the SMU, the Pony Express teams, when they like aren't running media companies, when they aren't on your TV every night, and you know, like they're retiring, they're getting out of the business now, right? Like anybody's like 30 years old, doesn't really remember the SMU squad being any good at all. They remember them being terrible, and so you know that kind of people start to forget. Then maybe we start hearing about how SMU is really not done too much. But a lot of people have that nostalgia, like, hey, look, Boone Express, are they back? Eventually people will be like, hey, is SMU any good? You know?
And like you mentioned, there's that generational difference where you and I are talking about, like, why is all this attention? Like, I grew up in Austin and I had never really heard of SMU until I moved up here.
Yeah.
And so it's usually the older guys on TV talking about SMU, da-da-da.
Yeah, always back in the day kind of stuff. And all right, so yeah, I agree with you. SMU is one leg up, right? One rung up on us. And I think competing with them for recruits, for attention, for local attention, really, is like the main goal, at least right now. And I don't really think that's going to happen until North Texas wins a conference championship and some, like, a couple of big games. You know, like, major things need to happen. Because SMU can do very little, and because it's one, it's basically downtown Dallas almost, right? And, you know, everybody's just right there. They kind of get hyped about it. And also because, you know, lots of people have connections to SMU. Like, everybody's lawyer went there or whatever, you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, guys from here. Or they live in university in the Park Cities or whatever. So I think they always have an advantage, right? People are ready to pay attention to SMU. So it's going to take a little bit more, you know, pizzazz, more stuff to happen for people to care about Denton, which is 45 minutes away. Right now, how do you think we're doing competing with them?
I think we're better than we have in the past, but it's not there yet.
Yeah. We lost three straight. They had a bigger splash hire, excuse me, in Chad Morris. He didn't really do too much, truth be told. He didn't really make too much happen. June Jones was more successful. He was there, what, 7 years? 7 years, went to four bowl games and won three of them. And
Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah. So a lot of people like to knock June Jones, but he was more successful, objectively speaking, than Chad Morris. And I don't really know what Sonny Dykes is going to do. He's a good coach, but if, you know, like, I mean, he coached Louisiana Tech to do really good things over there, but they were kind of all offense, no defense, very much like Cal. I think he's more in a Cal situation than he is in a Louisiana Tech situation. Does that make sense? Like, Louisiana Tech is one of the better teams of the WAC. Cal was decidedly not. SMU, decidedly not.
Okay, yeah? I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But he's got better resources than he would at La Tech, at SMU.
Sure, but not relative to his conference. You know what I mean? And, I mean, yeah, you can get fancy stuff, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know how great of a job SMU is right now.
Yeah, and you know, the question is for me is Sonny Dykes too old hat, like Seth Luttrell and Graham Harrell are the new blood for the air raid, and maybe Rich Rodriguez, but is Sonny Dykes just too old now?
I don't think so. Mostly because like Mike Leach is out there turning terrible programs into relevant programs yet again. Like Washington State was a laughingstock. Now they're top 25. Now they're competing for conference titles, and they shouldn't be because they don't get good recruits. They're not well supported. They don't bring in a lot of revenue, and you know he's producing good teams.
Yeah, but Sonny Dykes is not.
Yeah, Sonny Dykes is not on that level. He's not as good a coach, but he's a good offensive coach. He had Cal put up lots of numbers. Cal beat Texas. I don't know what that means. But Louisiana Tech was pretty okay. They were pretty good under Sonny Dykes before he got that Cal job. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not in the WAC, and he's not in Conference USA. He is in the AAC. And right now, here's going to bring this other team that matters, is Houston. Houston's in the AAC. And I think they are probably more poised to do damage and take state attention than SMU.
Which they definitely have, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, like, a couple years ago, Houston beat Oklahoma, and everybody was ready to, you know, give them the G5 crown. Yeah, people were writing blog like, what would it take to get Houston into the Big 12? Are they the new TCU? No, they weren't. They didn't, you know, make things. Again, going back to TCU, they just have like a miracle hire, and they just have ridden Gary Patterson to all the success. They owe him all of the money and probably name the stadium after the guy. Because, yeah, he's won a conference title in every league he's been in except the Big 12 so far. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, changes the name of the school to him.
Gary Patterson University. Might as well. So I think Houston's the next step up. Is that about right? Like state
attention? Yeah. I mean, in the state, yeah, they're probably the top G5 program in the state.
And I don't know where you rank the rest, because you know we're getting to Texas. I don't know where you rank the rest of the Big 12 teams. I think obviously Baylor, Texas Tech, A&M and Texas are on a different level. But Baylor and Texas Tech, I've always said this. If they weren't in the Big 12 and they weren't in the conference with Texas, they wouldn't be so great. Like if you got North Texas or if you got Houston or obviously you got TCU and swap them with Texas Tech or Baylor, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Like Baylor would just, you know, fade off and they'd be an also-ran. Texas Tech would be an also-ran. And then North Texas would be Texas Tech, you know, or Houston would be Texas Tech or Baylor. It would be the same kind of thing. And all you have to do is look at, I guess, Rice, right? Rice was in the money when they were in the Big 12. And now they're out of the money, and they don't get the same kind of support, mostly just because they're not associated with Texas, the money train. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong? You tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think.
No, I think with a team like Baylor and Texas Tech, I think there's a grain of truth there that, I mean, who cares about Texas Tech?
the enrollment's similar, and I think the major difference, right, I mean, if you want to step out of the sporting realm, is like, alumni support in decision making places. You know, like North Texas is not going to make a whole lot of movement until we get some powerful alums to elected office that can, you know, make some statewide decisions that benefit North Texas or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think when Ann Richards, Baylor alum, that was like, Texas, you got to take Baylor along with you. And then now, hey, look, Baylor, you know, financially gains from that. And they went on to destroy the city of Waco. So, you know, what are you going to do? We're a long way off with competing with those teams. It would take serious domination of the Conference USA league to steal attention from Texas Tech and Baylor. Yeah?
unless we had played them last year.
Yeah, I mean, Baylor. even then, Baylor's, you know, they forgot about it. They put that behind them, much in the same way we put the loss to Portland State behind us. We're letting it go, man. We're forgetting it. Moving on. But yeah, you're right. We should have, if we had Baylor on the schedule, we would have beat them. And there's a reason to schedule those tough teams, because you never know when they're going to be down. Beyond that, I mean, UTSA, Rice, UTEP, a couple system schools and a private school. They are the competition in terms of like athletic support. They think they're real. You know, they're in the same, obviously in the same league, but then they're in the same realm, right? Similar enrollment figures, similar endowments, I think, just off the top of my head, except Rice. But Rice is like a tiny support group. What was that? One more time.
Except for Rice.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. And where do we compete with them? Well, obviously, we beat UTSA last season. UTEP is down. They got a new AD, a new head coach, new everything. I think right now, North Texas is in a better position than all three of those schools. Yes, including UTSA, which you know, lost a couple of NFL people, guys to the NFL, NFL caliber talent. Is trying to rebuild, and their projected starting QB got hurt. So, I mean, what are you gonna do? I think North Texas is ahead of them. It's in a good spot. Conference wise, I mean, we'll just touch on this briefly. Louisiana Tech is in a good spot. FAU is obviously the most dangerous team, defending champs, and then beat North Texas by a combined 110-48 score and put up 1,436 yards in two games. Obviously, they are better than North Texas. Better poised for attention, better poised for national attention, better poised for getting more recruits and to maintain their current win streak. I'm a little scared of UAB just because they have a good program, but I think UAB, because they're what, Alabama, Birmingham, right? They're basically UTSA of Alabama, right? But except there's not a whole lot of other Alabama schools. I mean, there's Troy, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I fear them a little bit, but not too much.
Oh, with UAB this past year, I think we let them play closer than the game was. I don't think their defense can hold us, and it didn't last year. We let Erdley beat us a couple of times, but, and I've mentioned it before, that I think we had our backups in too early, which allowed them back in the game. So UAB, I'm not terribly worried about. Erdley's not.
It's in Birmingham, and it's on the, I mean, so it's on the road, though. I mean, North Texas, yeah, hasn't traveled particularly well
in the past.
Even last season, they barely squeaked by Louisiana Tech. They got throttled by FAU. They beat USM, but they got punched in the mouth to start the game.
But we won.
Played well, is all I'm saying.
I think we can beat UAB. I think, you know, I like that coach. I'm blanking on his name right now. But I don't think Erdley can beat us because they're they're a running team. They're really good at running the ball, but I think we're really good at defending the run.
Say we're really good, but we're not bad.
We're good at defending it against them.
Yeah, okay. We held them pretty well. I forget the numbers right now. But we allowed Erdley to throw for like 360 yards or something like that.
And two of those passes were like 120 yards or something.
A pass is a pass, yards are yards, and touchdowns are touchdowns. You know, we allowed them. That's the point, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I take your point, and I'm playing a little devil's advocate here. I'm just, like I said, I'm a little scared of UAB. I don't think they're ahead of us in terms of building a program. They're definitely behind, but I don't think they're that far behind. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they were in the running for the division title.
Yeah.
They've got motivation. They went to a bowl game, right?
They went to a bowl game and they got throttled.
But they've got the motivation there. They've got the momentum there going in from last season. They won 7 games, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that. 8. So they won 8. They won eight
games. Yeah. So good on them. But you know what I mean? Like talent wise, I think we can go head to head with them. But they've also got that motivation that we have, in terms of like.
They have motivation to say, "Hey, look, we let one slip away against North Texas." I think that's how they'll sell it.
No. And not just that, like we're a rebooted program in our first year. We won 8 games. You know, take us seriously.
Yeah, I don't know where to put them in the thing. Do you want to go through the schedule? You want to play this game where we go through the schedule and?
Sure.
That you don't sound enthused. Like, I mean, can you imagine somebody listening to this podcast? Like, are you guys ready to go through the schedule? And you're like, maybe.
I hate talking.
I hate podcasts. I mean, it's a silly game, but there's, like I said, there's not much else to do. And also, I kind of wrote some of this part already, so it's like fresh on my brain. Of course, none of this stands, right, long term. These are not the official predictions, but I kind of want to get a feel for everything, and it tells me where you think all this stuff is.
Sure.
9-1 versus Schmoo. Sonny Dykes' first game as the head man, right? He's in a honeymoon period right now. It's great to be back in Texas. I love it. It's amazing. It's the greatest university ever. I grew up watching this team. Blah, 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 blah. Now, what happens?
You gonna go first?
Oh yeah, I'll go first. Okay. I think it's hard changing lanes. Right, they had this power run. I don't know, got spread to run kind of thing under Chad Morris, and now it's like, okay, we're gonna do a little bit more precision timing thing, passing the ball a lot with a lot of up tempo, whatever. The long story short of this is that they run a very similar offense to North Texas, so the defense doesn't really have to change too much, right? You just run you against the standard sets. So they should be prepared for Sonny Dykes, and they're going to be trying to put things together, right? They don't have 2 years in the system. Even though a lot of things carry over, they don't have the reactions, the instinct just yet. Contrast that with North Texas, third year in the system, right? Defending Conference USA Player of the Year. Everybody's ready to go, right? We should be able to win this one. I picked 42-33. It's just a random number. I think we win this game by double digits.
So
even though that's nine single digits, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sonny Dykes is not... Even though he's done good things, he is not Mike Leach. He's not Dana Holgorsen. I think we can beat SMU in Sonny Dykes' first year.
See, I like Sonny Dykes. I've liked him, you know, because he's an air raid guy. I kind of rooted for him a little bit in the way you root for coaches. But, I mean, he spent the last 2 seasons against our in-city, in-metroplex rivals, TCU and now SMU. And I'm starting not to like the guy, you know?
Bad matchup.
I'm a little bit like you now. Like, Sonny Dykes not a good coach. He's actually a terrible coach. I like that. I like that line of thinking. All right, 9-8 versus Incarnate Word, which is a San Antonio school. It's actually a drive by it every day. Eric Morris is now the head coach at Incarnate Word, and he's bringing, guess what, the air raid. Not only. Well, they have all the first-year problems. Like, think back to our first year in the system where we had glimpses, slight glimpses of air raid prowess, but lots of terrible situations, right? Combine that with a talent disparity, and, I mean, you get a blowout win right here. It's 2 weeks in a row that North Texas doesn't really need to prepare for a defense. They just got to prepare against the offense, right? So they can just practice straight up and be prepared for Incarnate Word and SMU.
I think it's 2 weeks in a row of, you know, 60, 70 plus points scored.
What? You think they scored 70 points?
Total. Total.
I was like, God, what, you kind of just destroy SMU. I was like, we're gonna rip them off the mat. They're gonna just quit right after we're done with them on our new field turf. It's gonna be nice and cool. A cool 48 point victory. I like that though. All right, now here's a big one. Right, 9:15 at Arkansas. As we go through these, we'll go a little quicker. 9:15 at Arkansas. Chad Morris, he has Seth Littrell's number, and he also has 3 straight wins against North Texas. This is probably number 4. Even though his team will not have an identity, they have athletes, right? And I mean, their offense SCC might not do, yeah, they might not do too much, but their defense, you know, they have pretty good athletes along the defensive line, and you know, spoiler alert, North Texas has some issues with our offensive line against really talented, really athletic defensive lines. And if you don't believe me, look back at SMU, look back at UTSA, which had an NFLer on the defensive line, look at Troy, and look at FAU, right? All those games had defensive lines that manhandled our offensive line, and we had lots of trouble. You can even mix SMU in race in there.
NFLer in there.
One more time, what? Who did?
SMU had a
yeah,
NFL
yeah,
as
exactly,
well.
Yeah. So there you go. Issues. I count this one as a loss. But if there ever was a chance to upset an SEC team, this is it. First year team, new system, a guy whose system you already know, so you have an idea of what they're going to do, but you can expect them to maybe do it poorly. You know, that's an upset game, and that would be a fun one to go to, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
So I'm going.
Look at you.
My in-laws are Arkansas fans. They're from Arkansas. So
so you're going to go out there to quote-unquote see the family? Hey, guys, I'm going to the game. I'll be back.
What's up? Here are the babies. Yeah. I'm going to put this down as a loss.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun loss.
Yeah.
Not in the sense that Georgia was like a, because that Georgia was like a disappointing heartbreaker.
Yeah.
A tease. But I think Arkansas, we're going to score on them. They're going to always have the game in hand, I feel.
Yeah.
Unless, like you said, they just don't show up for the game. But they have better athletes than we do. They may not know the system as well, but they'll just,
yeah,
you know, blitz us, and that'll be that. I mean, we're going to lose.
I think, because Louisiana Tech a couple seasons ago almost beat Arkansas, right? It was like 21-20. You never know, because Arkansas is not so much better than us that they should just destroy us on sheer talent. But it's like the little things might make the difference, right? Just like we may not be able to score or keep it at the same tempo. We might turn the ball over because we flustered by some of the talent. It's going to be something like the Iowa game, you know, where we had some clear disadvantages, but then there was a couple points you're like, hey, you never know, we might steal this thing. I also wanted to go. I also had plans to go, but I went ahead and sort of decided to have a kid like right around the time, so I don't think my wife would be too excited if I was like, great, congratulations on our new baby. I'm going to Arkansas now. Bye.
Deuces.
So, yeah, I don't think I'd be let back in. So 9:22 at Liberty. This is a weird one. We should beat them fairly easily, but they're coached by Turner Gill, and they beat Baylor last season. And they have given good programs a run for their money in the last, 8 seasons that Turner Gill has run the program there. They're not pushovers, but we should win this game if we think we're a good school.
Isn't there some kind of connection with North Texas?
Turner Gill? No. Nebraska. Yeah. He's a Nebraska guy.
I thought there was. Anyway.
They both play football?
They have grass?
Yeah.
Liberty.
Oh, we have field turf. We don't have grass. But
that's right. Yeah. A lot of people have talked about Liberty, that it could be an upset game. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a good receiver. I'll give them that. But, I mean, they beat Baylor last year, but they also got smashed hard by other FCS squads, I believe.
Yeah, they finished 6-5. Like, I mean, that's not great. And I think they went 4-1 in their league or whatever it is. But they'll be playing as an FBS independent this season. So they'll have more players. But again, there's no reason why North Texas, like, if North Texas expects to compete for a conference title this season, then you should beat a Liberty at Liberty. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's it.
We should win this easily. Yeah. And if we don't, then just pack it up, go home.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to, because we'll have lost and then need to go home. But yes. finally, to close out the month of September, Louisiana Tech at home. First huge game of the season. I think it's the game of the week for Conference USA. I think FAU plays at Middle Tennessee that day. But I mean, this is a big one. Both teams come in. We have I think Louisiana Tech has two winnable games and an SEC game. I think it's against Auburn. And we have, what is that, 1, 2, 3 winnable games. I'm counting SMU as a winnable game. And then an SEC team. So we both could come in with just one loss. I think we'll be 3-1. They'll be 2-1. That's how I figure it. And we're at home. Louisiana Tech is good. Jamar Smith is good. But he could lose the game for them. And there's question marks along their whole team. Louisiana Tech, I mean. There, a lot of guys returning from injury. But we don't know how good they'll be. They have talent. I don't know how good they'll be.
I want to count that as a win. We're at home. And while I wasn't able to go the last time that La Tech was here, I think I stayed home because it was raining or cold. So weather was not good. And also I knew that we're going to face off against Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson. So I was like, I'm not feeling good. I'll stay home. And we got annihilated. Yeah. So I hope this is kind of like a revenge game for the last time they were here. And I'm going to say a W.
Yeah, I put a win here, but like 27-24, something like that. Another tough game like the one in Ruston last season. I just think that North Texas is a more complete team on offense. They have a more complete offense. And I don't know that Louisiana Tech has any complete unit. Their defense is not complete and really good. Their offense is not complete and really good. I think as a whole, they might have more talent just from top to bottom. But we have talent, and we have a more complete team and a good system. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, we saw what happened last season. I think North Texas went down and executed and won the game.
As poorly as we performed that game, we ended up winning.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like that was on the road too. This is at home. I feel good about it. Hopefully, like maybe a pretty decent record. And if we have like surprisingly upset Arkansas, hopefully we don't come into this game just feeling super good. Then we're gonna get our asses handed to us. 10-6 at UTEP. Dana Dimmel, Mike Canales, and I forget their defensive coordinator, but it's a new day with Reed Treads. In UTEP, three schools that got new head coaches? Is it three? I'm forgetting the other one now. But at least the two schools, right? Rice, UTEP got new head coaches. UTEP is the worst choice in my opinion. Dana Dimble again is a retread, but they like what he sort of did at Kansas State. Mike Canales, I think we all have an opinion on him, good or bad. My opinion is that while there is some good there, there's a lot bad that I don't really think he's a super home run hire. Who knows? Guess where he got his new quarterback from? Yes, Iowa. And I think we win this one pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say there.
I say all that, and UTEP has still beaten us like, we won last year, but the two seasons before that, I thought we'd win, and they blew us out. Or there was that one, they beat us at home after we had a lead. It was like a couple punt returns in Apogee. We were winning, they stole it. And then we went there to close the season in Seth Luttrell's first year, needing a win to seal a bowl thing, and we got destroyed. And we couldn't even see it because they have their shaky cam, right? You know, they have like Somebody hanging from the rafters with their GoPro as the camera and just kind of hanging around. That's like the worst production in the league.
Yeah, I feel like if Utip were a sound, it'd be that sad trombone from Price is Right.
Boom, 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 boom.
I feel for them. I wish they had done a better job of getting some good coaches in order to improve the league overall. Because UTEP is an old name, like an old classic name, that has a certain brand to it. So I feel bad for him.
I thought you were going to use call him an old and famous state, you know? throwing a classic speech in there. Southern Miss, 10-13. We're at home. The last two times we beat Southern Miss, it was because their quarterback sucked. Keon Howard turned the ball over 50 million times in Apogee. Next season, meaning last season, Quadra Griggs couldn't complete a pass to save his life, even though they had Ito Smith and Corey Robertson and Alonzo Staggers out there. They lost a lot of dudes. Staggers, Robertson, Ito Smith, all gone. They have like three quarterbacks trying to compete for the job. Keon Howard, Quadra Griggs, some JUCO guy, I forget his name, it's like Anderson or something. And they replace a lot of their secondary. And like one or two of them are like on NFL rosters. They're trying to knock on the door. They had talent. They lost it all. I think the secondary is hardest to replace. I think we win this one, but USM will be coming off a bye, and I think they'll be 4-1 at that time. And we will be on like 5 or 6 straight weeks playing. So I think that one's going to be tough. But we're at home, and I think, I think it's one of those games where like, how is this close? How did we allow this to be close? And it's going to be a win though.
Yeah. And I don't know what receivers Southern Miss are bringing back. Like La Tech was bringing back, what's his name? Teddy Veal.
Yeah. He's so good.
He'll present a problem, but Southern Miss, I don't know who they're bringing back. And like you said,
they lost their top three. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I mean, they can get some guys, but, I mean, that's still tough to replace, especially guys that were longtime guys in their system. Staggers and Robertson were really good, yeah.
But it is Southern Miss, and they're an old team like La Tech.
I call them Southern Miss.
Miss.
Yeah. They're still good, and you got to respect them. That's why I think we win that one, but I think it's going to be close. All right, 10-20, August. It's October 20th at UA Birmingham. I call this one a loss, and I just feel it. Not because like if we played them on day one, I think we win. But it's in Birmingham, and the Blazers will be coming off games in Ruston, and then Rice. They'll play at Houston, and I think Rice is going to be tougher. They're already tough under David Bailiff, but I think they're going to be excited to play under like a coach that wants to play tough. I think they got a good coach, but they'll be home, and we'll be on our ninth straight week of football, and I think that's going to be a little too tough for us. That run game you're talking about that we'd like to stop, I just feel like maybe those bruises hurt a little bit more in week 9 without a break. You know what I mean?
No. No, I don't.
I say it's a close loss. I think it's like 7 or something like that. I feel like that one's a tough game. Again, I think if we played UAB any other time in the season, I think we win. But that one, it's just a tough time. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you were just saying no, that's it. you got thoughts on them? Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't have thoughts. I already mentioned what I think was going to happen, but And I'm realizing that if I call this a win, which I am, we'll be. I'm saying we're going to be 7-1 at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I said we're going to be 6-2 at this point. That's what I'm saying. And like I said, it's not unexpected considering we're talking about a defending champ here, right? A defending West Division champ.
And right. We're talking about Conference USA and Incarnate Word and Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, those are not super tough. Rice. I say this is a win, 29-21, I think is the number I picked. Again, you got to remember that Rice has been tough the last couple of years. We beat them, got 2 wins, but they've been tough. We were down 17, and it took a just about a miracle completion to Rutherford, Kieran Rutherford, along the sideline, where the guy fell down and he was wide open. It was double coverage. They both fell down. He caught it. First down, hand off to Willie Ivory. He gets the big yards, and we drive down, get a touchdown to Willie Ivory in the wheel route, right? And everybody's like, wow. But up to that point, we had that whole Florida game and the first quarter where we had like negative 32 total yards, right? That was the lowest of the low point. And I think if that, if he doesn't catch that, I think Seth Atrill might have been fired. I don't know. Like by the end of the year, like it could have happened. He could have lost the team. I think it was that tenuous. And I think they've said that was a turnaround. It's when teams started to believe, but that was a tough game. North Texas came back from down 17, won in overtime. I think Bryce had forced overtime. That was an incredible game. And then last season, right, I think it was like a 30-14 win, but Rice picked Mason Fine off and got a pick six. They sacked him like three straight times late in the second half. It was a tougher game than the score showed. It was a complete win. Like, you know, North Texas was never really threatened, but it was not easy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're at risk for a loss here.
Yeah.
Just because the offense is not going to be moving the ball.
Yeah.
On North Texas. But just because we're at, I'm at 7-1, I'm going to call this a loss. So I'm going to say 7-2.
It doesn't work that way. But I mean, I think you're kind of saying the same thing. Like, assuming we beat UAB, there'll be 10 straight weeks of football and then a tough game on the road at Birmingham, right? And then we come home and play Rice, who's going to play tough and will be tough, and I can see that being lost. I think it's going to be a tough win. I think we lose against UAB, we get things ready to go, we beat Rice. Then we have a bye week. Sweet, sweet rest. Then a tough game at Old Dominion. Remember, Old Dominion had the lead late in his, it was at least the third quarter. Late in the game, early in the second half. They had the lead against us with their 18-year-old freshman quarterback and a powerful run game.
17.
Yeah, he was 17. He had turned 18, I think, by then. But, oh, yeah, okay. He started at 17. He has tons of talent. The Monarchs are in Norfolk. And they have some talent. They got some JUCO guys. They got a bunch of JUCO guys running. So it's kind of tough to tell what they're going to be like. But they have a good coach. And they will be at home. Remember, 2 years ago they had 10 wins, right? And they expected to be pretty good last season, but they had a bunch of injuries. I don't know what to expect, but I think we win this game. But I think it's real close, man.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as you are that I don't know what to expect from this team next year, this coming season, because I thought they were going to be pretty good last season. But they weren't. They like you said, they had those injuries. I think they're going to be too worried about climate change. So I think we can win this one.
Then finally, the biggest game of the season, maybe? Question mark. 11-17 versus Florida Atlantic. I say by this point, North Texas should be 8-2 and 5-1 in conference. And depending on what UAB and Louisiana Tech do at this point, I was kind of looking at their schedules. They're going to have some tough games because I think Tech plays FAU also. I think we'll probably need this game and maybe the next game to win the division. Like, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher. They're at home. North Texas is. I don't really know what to expect from this game. And I picked a loss by 10. Just because it's really hard to ignore those numbers that I gave you earlier in this podcast so long ago. 110-48 was the combined score, and they put up 1,436 yards against us. That is so ridiculous. 110-48.
You have that framed over your bed.
No, it just burned into my skull. So it looks like that. Whenever I look around, it's like floaties when you have in your eye when you get like cataracts or whatever. I don't know how that looks. But it's like that. It just burned in my eyesight. FAU is clearly the better team. They're coming back with maybe some motivation question marks, right? Depending on what happens with that Oklahoma game to start the season. They will be entering year two with a different set of motivation. Before it was like, let's prove everybody wrong. Now it's like, what are we? We're good. You can see so many points for slippage, right? We don't know what they're gonna have. And they don't have Kendall Bryles, who's now at Houston. He's back at Houston. So things are gonna be different. Charlie Weiss Jr. is out there.
Oh,
do,
yeah.
Do you fear him? I don't.
That guy.
Yeah, so we're gonna see. I think they're beatable, but I think maybe the advantage is that FAU still has a better coaching staff, meaning Lane Kiffin is a better game planning coach than Seth Littrell right now.
And they've got better talent. They're replacing Baby Driscoll with a better quarterback.
Yeah.
This transfer from, where does he transfer from?
Is it
Alabama? Well, we've seen what happens with Alabama transfers. It's from some P5 school. I don't think it was. It's some kind of connection with Lane Kiffin somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I forget off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that he's going to have talent, and Lane Kiffin is a guy that knows how to use talent and put him in positions to succeed. As we saw last season, when they rewrote the conference record books, they rewrote Florida Atlantic record books. They dominated the league. I call this a loss, and I desperately want to call it a win and drink the Kool-Aid, but I can't see it right now, man.
I'm calling it the third loss in 12 months to Florida Atlantic.
God, it's so terrible. Okay, finally, coming off that game, it's a tough, tough game. The weekend after Thanksgiving is so tough, and you can see that, right? We played at Rice, and we were a little sluggish. We came out and it looked, you can maybe say that was the reason. Maybe not Rice was tough. Maybe that was the reason we played so poorly. But, we're playing on the road at UTSA against a rival. And we'll have whatever happens in that FAU game on our mind, right? If they get super hyped up, let's get revenge, and they lose, it's going to be real hard to bounce back the next week. Like, that's going to be hard to do no matter how well the coaches motivate them. It's going to be hard. If they get hyped up, they play FAU, and they win, it's going to be really hard to prepare for UTSA. So I can't see a scenario where it's easy to prepare for UTSA, and that makes it tough.
So FAU is our hot tub game.
Yeah. It's always the hot tub game, I guess. And so, all right, so that makes it difficult, and I still think that North Texas right now, as constructed, is a better team than UTSA. Again, UTSA lost their quarterback, who's on the NFL squad right now, Dalton Sturm, who was most of their offense. They don't have a designated backup. They had a guy, the Frank Wilson guy, Frank Harris. He was supposed to step in. He hurt his ACL. I think he's out for the season. So they have a JUCO guy. Like Bryce Rivers, I think some kid has been on the roster, has transferred from Baylor, but hasn't made the job his, and, you know, some high school kid. So not a whole lot to choose from there. Now, I say that, and they had the same situation a couple years previous when Dalton Sturm was there, and they're like, I don't know, we'll get this former walk-on and see what he can do. And he ends up being probably the best quarterback in their short history, and he's in the NFL, right? So you never know. But that said, I don't really believe in UTSA right now. Their offense is a question mark. They got a new coordinator in there with a bunch of new guys. Nobody knows what that's going to be like. They lost their NFL caliber defensive linemen. They have talent along the defense, but they had talents last season when North Texas ripped them up to start the game. You know, put 400 something yards on them. Southern Miss put 450 yards on them. So I don't believe in UTSA.
Do you believe in the Roadrunners?
No. No. I mean, get that Aldo clip. No.
Yeah, I think we win.
Yeah.
Or I know we win.
I put a... If we played UTSA, say, to start the season, I think we put like 45 on them. But to end the season late in the year, that whole scenario I talked about, I think it's like in the 20s. But I don't think they score on us.
It's rivalry week, too.
Yeah. So I think I end up at 9-3. 9-3 and was at 6-1, 7-1. Oh wait, 6-2 in conference, and that just might be enough to win the division.
I think I'm in the same spot in terms of numbers with you, but I think there's so much parity in our division that even losing a game or two still puts us in an okay spot. If we lose a game or two in conference, I mean, still puts us in an okay spot to win out in the division.
Yeah, I mean, last year I thought the tough game on the road was going to be Southern Miss. I thought we'd lose that game. I was like, they're tough, they're good, they're going to be on the road, right? In the same way I was kind of talking about some of these other ones here. And then we won that game, and I thought, Louisiana Tech is definitely going to beat us. They're too good for us. We won that game. And, you know, I thought UAB was going to be more of a cakewalk. And, and I don't know what happened there. Last season, we were fortunate. And this season, we could be unfortunate and still have about as good of a team. And I think that's important to remember for everybody holding them accountable or whatever. You know, I think on offense, they're going to be better, at least in terms of execution. But they're not, by no means, a perfect group on that side. There's still question marks about who's going to take the mantle, as we talked last week about, and questions about the offensive line. But if that defense could create some turnovers, get some sacks. You never know. Should be fun.
Yeah, and you know, while our offense improved between 2016 and 2017, you know, a lot of the balls didn't bounce our way in 2016 when it did in 2017. So I think some of that helps.
Yeah,
that'll be a factor this coming year. So, you know, we might lose to La Tech because the ball didn't bounce the right way. So. You know, it's football. A number of things can happen week in and week out.
Yeah, I think I begin the the preview this ebook saying, like, in some alternate timeline, we're talking about how close we were to losing, or how close we were to winning against Southern Miss, UTSA, Old Dominion, La Tech, and Army. Right, those games that we had a miracle drive against UTSA. We probably should have lost to Southern Miss. Old Dominion almost beat us. Like, if we don't stop them on those three straight fourth and ones, who knows what happens? Louisiana Tech, if they could kick, if they knew how to kick a field goal, or if our guy missed it. And then, you know, Army, if maybe Turner Smiley drops one of those deep bombs, like another one of those deep bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, then that game changes completely. But that's the game, man. That's the fun of it. That's what makes it great. I think we're done. Do you have anything else to say to add to this amazing podcast episode?
You know, I can't wait to go watch some football.
Well, you got a ways to go, man. We got Caravans right now. In June, and then July we got Conference USA Media Days, and then the start of fall camp, and it's not till September that we get to playing some football. It's not that far away, but it is far away. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. We appreciate you. If you want to talk mess about Aldo, you can email the show, podcast@meangreennation.com. If you want to praise me and tell me how great I am, podcast@meangreennation.com. But we don't accept any praise for Aldo, though. Like, I'll just immediately delete those. So
I'll accept it.
No, man. It can't let you, because then you can get all this praise. You're gonna leave for a better podcast, you know. And I can't be looking around for a co-host. It's, you know.
Send interviews.
Yeah. All right. Quick. Give me a hot take about Derek Thompson. Ready? Go. I'm like, huh? What? Sorry, man. You're not gonna cut it. This cutthroat world of Mean Green Nation podcasting. All right. All right. We're done.